Ladies and gentlemen, Back Gig Studios Lounge is proud to present The Gig Cast.
This is a gig cast for, let's call it, I don't know, the end of June 2010. This is JT Shea, your host here, and in the Night Gig Studios Batcave. What I have for you today here is, let's call it Gig Cast 195. But what it really is a long time coming. Way back in April, Kevin Heyman and I recorded an interview with Greg Gray. Kevin and Greg had recently released their new movie from Month of Sundays Productions. That movie is called Danton versus a TV Stand. And it was a great interview, and of course, I dropped the ball. This should have been released a long time ago to help promote their movie, and I do apologize it took so long for me to get that out there. Anyway, without further ado, here is that interview with Kevin Heyman and Greg Gray. Talking about their movie, Danton versus the TV Stands, Parts 1 and 2, which I believe can be found on YouTube, as well at amosproductions.wordpress.com, which is their website for A Month of Sundays Productions. Again, I apologize for the lateness of this. Kevin, you can shoot me later next time you see me. Otherwise, on with the interview. And we're back. Joining us now on the Gig Cast, the creator, I guess you could call it creator, the man behind A Month of Sundays Productions, Mr. Greg Gray. He just recently released a new movie out to YouTube, and he's a good friend of Kevin Heyman's. And so welcome to the Gig Cast there, Greg.
Thanks. Now, glad to be here.
Yeah, well, good to have you. Now, I was... honored enough to be asked to provide the music for your latest movie. And it's funny because when I first started watching it, I didn't recognize that as my music. I'm like, that sounds pretty good. Who did? Oh, all right, cool. But anyway, he's got a new movie out. It's called Danton versus a TV Stand. It's released in two parts. You can find it on YouTube as well on a amosproductions.wordpress.com. And that stands for A Month of Sundays. And you've been, so Greg, tell me, how did you get into making movies? What's the story behind you and making movies?
Well, I was kind of interested in animation at first. And I think when I was in the ninth grade, I had English and Spanish in the same class, and the teacher, she really didn't teach. She was out of class a lot. So I started getting bored and just started daydreaming. And then I realized I liked, you know, movies better. So that's how it started. And then I started to eventually come up with some ideas. I'm a big Star Wars fan, so you know, I started to come up with something kind of similar to that, and just kind of went from there.
And you've been, this is the one you have out now. Is just your latest, of course, Danton versus TV Stand. You've been making movies for a few years, though. I have in my hand a fine piece of cinematic brilliance called The Magnum Opus of Reg Crust.
Oh, Lord.
Which has been talked about.
that one is on YouTube, though.
Right. No, I understand. But I mean, a lot of people think about making movies and go, oh, it'd be cool to make a movie, and they grab their father's, old camcorder, and they don't do much with it. They film some things and never goes anywhere. But you actually follow through, which is pretty cool. I mean, you've had now this one that's out on this one that the latest release. It's like a 15-minute movie or so.
14 minutes. Dancing versus TV stand. Which number of video is this that you've created? This movie. How many movies is this for you?
I think it would be maybe 5 or 6. I'm not. Yeah, I think 5.
Yeah,
We did 3 Rich Crust movies.
Right.
Me and Kevin.
Yeah.
This is the first one we've done in like 5 years. And we wanted to do something that wasn't Rich Crust. So.
Oh, yes.
Branching out a little bit.
Yeah.
It's a pretty funny movie, this Dan versus TV stand. There's not a lot of dialogue. There's a lot of slapstick, which is very funny. I mean, it's just a story of a poor schlub trying to put together a TV stand, and it just hijinks ensue, I guess you could say from there. But it's the quality is outstanding. I mean, you've got some good equipment, but since you've been making movies over the last 10 years or so, since you said, I mean, when you first started out, what was the equipment like? Because nowadays anybody with an iPod can film. You know, pretty much high def video to splice together and throw up on YouTube. But you've been doing it before the digital revolution really started, right?
Yeah, I think the first one was just a regular camcorder, not the big kind that you put on your shoulder, but the smaller kind. But it wasn't digital or anything. And my dad helped me get it. I paid it like you pay car notes. He helped me get a loan to pay for it.
Right.
And then I upgraded to a different one, a Sony. And then eventually I got a digital one. And this one was shot. What is it, Kevin?
Well, let's. I don't really want to say too much. How about we just say it was made using taxpayer money?
Yeah, it was shot in high def.
Yeah, it was shot in high definition, 720p, wasn't it?
I think it was 1080i.
1080i. Really? It was 1080i, yeah.
So you got part of the bailout, huh? You got some money for artistic...
we're not going to talk about it. Okay. We're not going to talk about where this equipment came from or why we're using it.
Okay.
It's a secret.
Like I said, it looks great. I mean, I was really impressed with the quality of the people say, oh, I put a movie up on YouTube, and you go look at it, and it's shot off from using their cell phone or something. But no, it looks really good. No, but like the original movies you did shot on video, what is the editing process like for editing old videotape? Well, you get like 2 VCRs, and you set one up, and you get to a point where you want to record the movie, and you hit play and hit record on the other or something. How does that work?
Well, the first movie I did in it was like that, in the first couple, in fact. But then, you can get editing software now. So
yeah, these days.
By the time we got to Magnum Opus, we were using it, doing it on the computer.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, a lot more. You can mess around with it a lot more.
Yeah.
It's non-linear.
Yeah.
Yeah. This one's actually my first time editing. The last one, Mike edited on his computer at my house. And, I think it went a little easier this time, especially for Greg.
Yeah, we spent a lot more time tweaking and stuff this time.
Yeah, because you can do that more. I mean, it's easier to do tweaks, so you spend more time perfecting it or whatever. It's not like it's like, well, to change this one little thing would be an hour and a half, so we're going to leave it the way it is. Now it's like click that button, drag that a little bit over there, and see how it looks now. Perfect. All right.
Yeah. A lot. We did a lot of work on. Well, Greg put a lot of thought into timing, and we did a lot of work on timing. So, I have to say, Greg Gregory knew what he was doing for the pacing.
And you did you did the audio editing too, Kevin? Or is that
yes, I did.
Well, yes, I must say, because like I said a couple weeks ago, and you said, hey, we need some ukulele music, something like you did on this video or something, and I said, all right, and. I must say, awesome job, dude. I mean, it looks. I busted out what a 3-minute, 4-minute piece of the chorus
to
7 Drunken Nights, and then a little rambling thing that you use for the end part. And the way you cut it up and you put the music in there, it really, wow. I'm like, okay.
Well, really, it's all you, man. Because like there were parts that didn't really. They kind of Greg backed me up here.
The scene where he's painting the caramel.
Right.
I was worried about that scene until we put your music in. That music helped a lot because it helped it pop more, I guess you'd say, the way Well, it just lives it up.
It's amazing how, you know, they do those things where, you know, you watch the scene with no music and then watch the scene with it, and how much that really adds to the movie. But I'm just saying that, I mean, I literally just sat down and, you know, 15 minutes busted out these two. I think I did the one song I did like twice to make sure I got it right, long enough, whatever, and the third one I did a couple of times, you know, whatever. But but the way you took the different parts of the songs, of the music I did, little bits of it here, bits of it there, I could see where, you know, that's the middle part, that's near the end that they use, and then, like, I was like, wow. And, like, I didn't remember doing part of the stuff that was in there. I'm like, that was impressive. And, I mean, the whole movie it works well together. It's funny, and it's pretty cool. And I hope that a lot of people go and check it out and leave you some great comments. Do you have any plans for future films now?
We haven't quite
the idea hasn't quite gelled, but I'm working on something else,
and I've got one, but it kind of depends on when I can write it. We do have a new person that we're gonna check, see if Greg, I meant to tell you, David is more than willing to do any acting you may have for him. He's really interested, so
that's good.
We've got someone else that can star now, so it won't all be The Adventures of Paul and Kevin. So,
good.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Now, I just want to let you know that I'm having trouble hearing you guys. The machine's still hearing you fine, but I can't because I have crappy headphones.
Oh, okay.
So well,
that's nice.
You go ahead and keep talking while I get my other headphones.
Okay, Greg.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us about Dumped on Planet Earth?
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah, actually, I think you should at least go over it. You know, it's because it was your first foray into filmmaking, and you know, talk about the challenges. The tell them about how you sweated blood to get that made with that Chaka hand puppet.
Actually, let's see. I think I was inspired by Gremlins and. Mm-hmm. Instead of there were aliens, and what I did was I took a Chaka doll and made a puppet out of it, and you kind of wreaked havoc on them, kind of like in Gremlins.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about all I can tell you about it.
That's all I got to say about that. But yeah, didn't we use like a scene from that in the second Reg Cross movie on the
Yeah, that's what you see Mike watching on TV for a minute.
Yeah. If we had a way to capture the second Reg Cross movie, I'd say we could put it up on Yao Tao, but I'm not sure how we're going to capture that. We'll figure that out.
All right.
What would you say is the biggest challenge you faced on this one? Other than working with me.
Well, the biggest thing I was concerned about was Leslie, because I never met her, but she turned out to be a good actor. I think, trying to be patient with people and let them. Mm-hmm. Just remember, she was kind of, she didn't really know her lines, but she did a good job in it. I think it was trying to make sure we had enough put into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was the most challenging part, is to make sure we had something good to use with her, because with everybody else we had more time.
Yeah. Now, see, I was thinking the most challenging part for me was trying to edit Leslie's stuff, actually.
Yeah. It's not that she did a bad job, it's that we didn't have that much time with her.
Yeah. It's nothing to do with her.
It turned out good. She did a good job.
She did a good job. It's just trying to... We only had her for a limited amount of time, and trying to put it all together with what we had, and to keep her sounding like she was a talker.
Yeah, keep her voice up too. She's soft-spoken.
Gotcha. Yeah, very soft-spoken. Hi, Tim.
Hi, I'm back.
Okay. We were just discussing Greg's challenges on this film, and my challenges, and we talked a little bit about Dumped on Planet Earth. And which was Greg's first film.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that. Oh, well.
Well, you can listen to it. You've got the audio.
I'm going to have to edit it, so yeah, I'll listen to it.
You're mad, man.
Speaking of editing. Excellent. Yeah, well, yeah, I did. Yeah, you're talking about, I heard you, I caught the last time there, you're talking about, was her name Leslie, you said?
Leslie, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she was a one of the few people that had a speaking part, besides yourself.
No, I'm not in that.
No, you're right. I'm sorry.
Hilton's in that. We found someone very similar to me, but female. And Agnes Hilter. I want to give a big shout out to the whole Hilter family. I don't know about that name, though. I'm pretty sure they may be Nazi war criminals. But
yeah, that was.
Yeah, I'm not in this one. I don't know what you're talking about, man.
No, okay, sure. I must have been mistaken then. You're right.
You are mistaken. Yeah. That wasn't me in a wig. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So what's neat is if you guys want to head over, you listening audience, want to head over to that amosproductions.wordpress.com, not only can you catch Danton versus the TV Stand, their latest production, but the magnum opus of Reg Crust is on there as well. The older films, are they ever going to be put up on YouTube?
We were talking about the second one we might try to put, right?
Yeah, Life with Reg Crust.
Yeah.
Probably not the first one. The video quality's not very good.
And Mind of Reg Crust is just a questionable film in places because it was... We were trying to do a two-hour movie.
1 hour and a half.
Yeah, hour and a half. You know, a full-length feature.
Right.
And... yeah, that didn't happen, so we ended up rewriting it so we could use the footage we had as a short. The second one was designed as a short and works better, and it kind of stands on its own.
Sure.
So.
Sure. Now, does the fly make an appearance in all the movies?
Well, that was a bee this time.
Okay, because I've only seen two. You know,
there was a fly in the first one, and I'd like to say that there were no insects harmed in the making of this film. Okay. Greg, did anybody get hurt on this one? I'm trying to remember.
Well, Paul fell a lot.
Yeah, Paul did fall down. He did burn his eye a little bit, right?
He scalded his eye.
Yeah.
Burned his eye a little bit?
You go ahead.
The tea kettle, and he held it up to his head.
Oh, right. When they pull back with the scream, right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, did anybody get hurt in a magnum opus?
I don't think so. I think in the second one.
Oh, yeah. Second one, we had several injuries.
Didn't Paul get a concussion?
I did hit Paul in the back of the head with a mailing tube and give him a concussion, yes.
Really?
I think he got a little bit of rope burn too from the when he was tied up.
Yeah, he got a little rope burn. He got a concussion, which that was kind of funny because that take, it's like his eyes roll back in his head and he's going, oh, with his mouth and hits the ground. And we had to keep him awake for a while.
I wanted to fake it, but they insisted on putting styrofoam and tucking it in the back of his shirt. And hit him the first time. It was too hard.
Yeah. Oh well.
It's not fun unless I hurt Paul.
That's Hollywood.
Yeah. Now he did like knee me. He like elbowed me in the back.
Oh yeah, the fight.
So he did. He did. He did get some revenge on that.
Let's see.
I'm never starring in another one, so I don't get an excuse to get nailed with a mailing tube. So. Yeah. Paul's out.
Well, technical difficulties aside, I do appreciate you coming on here and talking about this movie you got out there. Again, it's Danton versus the TV Stand. Parts 1 and 2 are both up on YouTube, but you can find them all together, nice and easy, on amosproductions.wordpress.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. Excellent.
And if I can get Greg to do it, we're gonna have like, you know, regular blog posts on there at some point.
Excellent.
So, Greg, get to complaining. Start complaining about Paul Verhoeven or something. I don't know.
You can start. You keep a diary of working towards the next movie. Did you announce the name of the next movie yet, or is that just
he doesn't? Greg, do you have a name?
Do you have a working title?
I was thinking about maybe Making Ends Meet, but that's more like a working title.
Sure. Well, that'll work.
It's kind of recession, you know, has to do with the recession and not getting enough work and stuff like that.
Topical.
Yeah.
Outstanding.
Yeah.
So this was all a written film produced in Jackson, Mississippi, correct?
Yes.
The hotbed of the Hollywood Southeast, is that what we're going to call it? Or?
Well, Canton likes to think they're the Hollywood of the South, but I think wherever we're shooting would probably be the Hollywood of the South.
Swampland Productions?
Well, no.
No.
It's a month of Sundays. You know why it's called a month of Sundays?
Because it takes a month of Sundays to get it done?
Well, that and we usually shoot on Sundays, so.
There you go.
Yeah.
Perfect, perfect, perfect.
Paul, and by the way, before anything else, the logo at the end, the month of Sundays film reel logo thing is by Paul. Paul did that for us back in, what was it, for the second or third one?
I think it was the third one.
Yeah, he did it for the third one. And the redundant thing at the end, or a little sit, ubu, sit.
Uh-huh.
You know those weird little behind-the-scenes moments you get when you turn on the camera?
Yes.
Yeah, me and Warren were having a discussion, and that little exchange happened. Redundant. It's called Making a Film. Well, that actually happened.
Cool.
So, yeah.
That worked. It was the best one. I mean, that thing at the end of the gig cast, it's just happened.
Oh, yeah, that one. Yeah.
One. The one thing.
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. Again, Greg, thanks for coming on here, the gig cast. Appreciate it. And hopefully you get some get some good views on this, and people will tell you how much they like it, because they need to. So head on over to amosproductions.wordpress.com, or take a search on YouTube for AMOS. No, actually, it's a month of Sundays prods on YouTube. And yeah, again, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Yep, you have a good day.
Right.
Bye. Bye. You have a great day.
Greg.
Yeah, that's me saying goodbye like I'm working at my freaking job.
This has been the GigCast. Remember, all links mentioned on today's show can be found at our homepage at www.thegigcast.com. The GigCast asks, what's your gig? Let us know. Drop us a line at gigcast@nightgig.com or call our voicemail line at 1-206-203-3334. The best we played every week on the show. Help us help you let people know what is your night gig. Music for the GigCast provided by Beatnik Turtle at beatnikturtle.com and by Corey Smith at myspace.com/TheCoreySmith. The GigCast is a production of Night Gig Studios at nightgig.com, where it's not about what you do to live, it's about what you live to do. Nightgig.com. What's your gig?
One.